The ice on the Thames was causing difficulties for Oxford rowers. In Yorkshire, the East Holderness foxhounds had braved the frost but struggled with poor scent. There was a new polo committee of the Hurlingham Club, and the popularity of professional football was having unfortunate effects on the amateur game. In home news, behind the Times' sports pages, a special correspondent reported on the urgent need for a muniment room for the Buckinghamshire County Archives, and there was a warming story about some cases of serum and bacteria previously stolen from the back of a doctor's car, now reunited with their owner. The lead item at the top of the imperial and foreign section dealt with the exchange rate in New Zealand. Only on page 10, next to a column on the latest French cabinet crisis, was the news that the President of the German Republic, the 85-year-old Field Marshal Paul von Hindenburg, had received the leader of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, Adolf Hitler, and asked him to become Chancellor of Germany. The appointment of Hitler on the 30th of January 1933 was more exciting than the anachronistic layout of the Times implied, but not much. Since the war, German chancellors had lasted, on average, just under a year, and the economy was in the midst of the Great Depression, with 24% of the workforce unemployed. The Nazis had caused mild consternation with their electoral breakthrough in 1930 and their amazing gains in July 1932, but they had lost votes later that year, and many assumed that their popularity had peaked. As if proof of this, Hitler had been forced to accept a coalition government with the former chancellor, the Catholic conservative Franz von Papen, as vice-chancellor, just as the conservatives, who outnumbered Nazis in the cabinet, believed that they could control Hitler, so their presence blunted foreign anxiety. "Hitler has become chancellor in Germany," recorded the British Conservative MP Cuthbert Headlam. "But not on his own. He has von Papen as vice-chancellor, and a good many of the National Party in his cabinet. I don't fancy that he will be allowed to do much." Nor did the figure of Hitler necessarily strike terror into the hearts of peace-loving Democrats. The Daily Telegraph wondered how a man who looked so uninspiring with that ridiculous little moustache could prove so attractive and impressive to the German people. The liberal-supporting News Chronicle mocked the triumph of the Austrian house decorator, while the Labour Daily Herald scoffed at the stubby little Austrian with a flabby handshake, shifty brown eyes, and a Charlie Chaplin moustache. "Nothing," continued the Herald, "in the public career of little Adolf Hitler, highly strung as a girl and vain as a matinee idol, indicates that he can escape the fate of his immediate predecessors." The previous day, following the collapse of General Kurt von Schleicher's 55-day-old chancellorship, the Times noted that a Hitler government was held to be the least dangerous solution of a problem bristling with dangers. The Nazi leader's commitment to eradicate the Treaty of Versailles would cause some anxiety in foreign countries, but the paper continued the following day, "In fairness to the Nazis, it must be admitted that they have in fact said little more on the subject of German disabilities than the most constitutional German parties." The Economist and the Spectator agreed, while the Labour-supporting New Statesman was even more sanguine. "We shall not expect to see the Jews' extermination or the power of big finance overthrown," commented the magazine on the 3rd of February 1933. "There will doubtless be an onslaught on the communists, but if it is pressed to extremes, it will provoke a powerful resistance and may even result in a united Marxist front, which will give the Nazis and their allies more than they bargained for." As it turned out, the imperialist Morning Star was nearer the mark, when it argued that the latest turn in German politics did not augur well for internal peace, and predicted that the new government was likely to seek a solution of difficulties at home in adventures abroad.